Morning, everyone. I'm Denise Robinson, and I serve on this committee, and I also happen to be a Makulu, or Wakulu. Good morning, everyone. My name is Nsama Chezi. I'm also a member of the committee.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Law College. Like a college. Magic, eh? Never mind Cynthia that is there, which I had to acquire for going to school from the Eden Cape. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Ndabi, a member of the African Christian Democratic Party. I'm only 61, so I'm not old like the rest of you.
My name is Kumzile Bengu, one of the members of this particular committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Lilo Fanamara, and I'm not a go-go.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kumzan Dbongwana. I'm a go-go.
Morning, everyone. My name is Koliswa Ngobane, secretary to the Whip of this committee.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Christopher, and I'm saving it.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. I'm the committee assistant for this committee.
Good morning, Sis Nomosa. Secretary
Good morning, Sam Kalanzi from TMT.
Good morning, I'm Jackie Atrinda, TMT.
Again, I'm Sarah Balan with PMD.
Good morning, Chair President, honorable members. My name is Justice Malaho, Communication Support and Media Liaison for the committee.
Good morning, Chair and members. I'm Krista Devendal, I'm the researcher of this committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Ashra Agent. I'm the content advisor to the committee.
Good morning, Chair and members. I'm Tunisa Fondana, PMG.
Very closely, because I believe we have to rope you in to change your mindset and understand that women are not pawns, neither are they toys, and without women, you wouldn't have been born. So, perspective.
And the first point is consideration and adoption of policy from the
Thank you, Chairperson. May I move for the adoption of this program?
Chair, I am happy to second it, but I did actually want to ask a question, but my other colleague jumped to the gun very quickly. This is going only up to the 8th of July, am I right? Okay, so it's very short. I just wondered what the plans were from or beyond that. Do we have any idea yet? I understand we've got to take time to settle in, but I was wondering particularly about the EPCs. Have we got any dates for our particular budget debate yet? Okay, thank you. I'll wait with eager anticipation, but apart from that, I'm happy to suggest this very tiny little program. I mean, to support it, to second it. Thank you.
Consideration and adoption of the mix, and I believe the word is related to all of it. So, is there any period of questions?
Thank you, Chair. I think there's just one little typographical error, and Ms. L. Fundanova, I know it says here, in Carter, Freedom Fighters. I wonder if she was a Freedom Fighter too, or whether she belongs to the Carter Freedom Party.
In fact, Jefferson, when I got in, I could share the little joke with my colleagues here. I'm from the Carter Freedom Party. I'm not a fighter.
Well, women's rights, she is.
Thank you. other correction. Or should I give other people just 3 minutes to go through because it's just a change? Has everybody read through? Okay. Are there any further corrections? Other minutes, no questions, so we'll take type of possible correction.
Sorry, Chair. I propose the adoption of the minutes as corrected. Thank you.
Second.
This was 2.3. Prefilled by the Committee Secretary. Content advised by the session on the processes, content, and NM.
Thank you, members, for availing the opportunity in order for us to debate. This morning, we will start the presentation with Nelisa, giving them an overview of the siege in terms of what the committee would need to deal with in relation to Budget Vote 8, Program 2. I will give a synopsis of the budget cycle and a bit around the sector analysis, focusing around the state of the nation and these and policy delays and implications for that in relation to Vote 8. And then Crystal will look specifically at Vote 8, Program 2. In terms of documentation, members, as you see, we'll start off with the presentation up and board PC, Portfolio Committee of Women in the Presidency. So that's the first presentation. So again, for the interest of time, we have about a half an hour, and we'll split our time between the three of us and then allow for opportunities for engagement. As indicated, Nelisa will cover the committee's issues on processing of the budget votes. We'll capture key points around the budget cycle, the legal framework, the role plays in the budget cycle, as well as the budget cycle itself, expectations, key supporting documents members should have when looking at the vote, as well as sector analysis. I'll now hand over to Nelisa for us to look at the strategic and annual performance plan.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for another good luck.
My presentation will start from slide 3 of the document. It's around actually the processes in dealing with the threat and the budget for the committee. The first point is the Department Executive Authority is responsible for taking the strategic plan and annual performance plan before Parliament, that is after the payment of the national budget. The tabling is announced in the publication called Announcement Tabling the Committee Report, commonly referred to as ATC. In this case, it was tabled on the 26th of June, the budget vote, which was referred to our committee. Particularly program 2, that was referred to the committee. Once tabled, the document should be accessible via departmental website, that is the electronic version, and Parliament documentation office, that is hard copies. After tabling, the Speaker of the National Assembly refers the plans to the relevant committees to report within a specific time frame. Reporting is in terms of National Assembly Rule 137 and should take place before the debate on a particular vote. The Portfolio Committee's report and department entities budget respect plans should be published in the ATC before the debate on that vote, which means that after we have engaged with the department, we have to develop a report which must be advertised by the committee and published on ATC the day after will be debated in the House. Budget first debate takes place in the extended public committees, which will start on the 15th of July. Once referred to a portfolio committee, that committee will develop a program for considering and voting on the budget vote and strategic and on annual performance plan referred to it. The process may include substantiation through advertising for comments or invitations to specific stakeholders or interest groups, e.g. academic or research institutions and non-governmental organizations. The process must include an analysis by parliamentary research and current support, poster overview by the relevant authorities, briefings by the relevant accounting officer, proximity of the table document, presentation and any other input, committee deliberations, drafting and adoption of the committee report, such as compiling a summary of the process followed, observations made, and the recommendation to a national assembly as to whether the budget should be approved or not. Potential challenges. The first point is a short period between establishment of policies, election of chairperson, and ETC. And the first point is around the department will report short notice of the committee's program and have little time to prepare for basis, etc. Members of the committee will have little time to familiarize themselves with the portfolio they oversee and with the relevant budget strategic plans and their associated responsibilities. Little opportunities for public comment as in the case now, because we could use it only 2 weeks to deal with the whole. The second one is around the revival of strategic and strong annual performance plan that we take before the election. In instances where the department has been made, the relevant executive authority may decide to table the revised plans which may cause delays in the affected portfolio committee process, which in turn may impact on the reporting. The last slide is around the recommendations. To address the time constraints, it's not just a one page for you to think of some thing later. It's a one page that we've included. Yeah. I follow you. The committee may consider receiving a broad overview of the department's budget work, especially for strong annual performance plan provided by the relevant executive authority and accounting officer. This overview may be considered along with the relevant budget work, analysis and parliamentary research and content support, the budget review recommendations as adopted in 2013 and any other relevant information the committee has access to. The committee may, based on the above mentioned information, adopt a report for tabling in the National Assembly, as if the committee chooses to comment on the concerns it is facing as far as the consideration of the budget. Orientation and strategic planning. At the start of each term, committees are expected to develop a 5-year strategic plan that will form basis for their oversight activities. It is recommended that an orientation program comprising, among others, through scrutiny of departmental budget respect plans, scope, and performance plans to develop. Even time constraints and the fact that many members will be new to their portfolio that they oversee, such scrutiny will be unlike prior to the APC. That's the end of my presentation. I just want to mention that the budget vote debate for vote A is on the 16th of July. At each of our 9 from 10, but according to the latest science program that you produced, our thank you members and we'll send over to Hashif Khalid.
Thank you, members. In the interest of time, I'm just going to pick up one of 2 key issues per side. So I think most of our time we should look at the actual vote, which Crystal will cover. Again, in terms of the budget, it's the process of how revenue raised by national government will be allocated to national, provincial, and local government. And it's the issue of competing priorities. As we've looked at the previous department, women, children, and persons with disability, we've seen that relative to all the other departments, that department often received the smallest percentage in terms of the budget. So given the new ministry, it would be of interest for us to see how will it be arranged and whether the budget allocation will be any different. So I think that's the key issue around the competing priorities around the budget. Again, in terms of the legal framework, the key issues for members to know are pieces of legislation which you refer to, the Public Finance Management Act, Municipal Finance Management Act, and the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act.
And then if, I think, if members not have copies of the tabs at the end of the meeting, we could take a list and indicate the fire in the so and make copies available either from stores or see what members would require. In terms of role players in the budget cycle, the portfolio committees in our case, in terms of cabinet, it is the Ministry of Women within the Presidency, the Auditor General, the Financial Fiscal Commission. In the fourth term, the Financial Fiscal Commission usually prepared a paper in relation to the previous Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities to give an overview of looking at government and how government is spending in relation to the target groups. Again, so far the FSC has not produced paper, but we will see in the next 6 months where that will emerge. In terms of civil society, there are many interested parties and NGOs who would be looking at the Ministry for Women. And if we had more time often with guidance from the committee, we'd look at inviting various stakeholders to present to the committee the expectations in terms of the actual budget. So that often happens prior to the department coming to present, because that would help members and give you an informed understanding of what are the other issues civil society and service providers on the ground have to say about what's required. Lastly, I've noted the Commission for Gender Equality. In the previous Department for Women, Children and Persons Disabilities, as Chris will note in her presentation, the CGE received a transfer. Money was transferred from our previous department program too. And again, we will see in terms of the ministry, and we will ask guidance there, the CGE will still remain in the new ministry. In terms of the budget cycle, ideally, it starts off with a cabinet hotla in January, looking at moving on to the State of the Nation address, budget, division of revenue and appropriation bill is tabled. All of this happens between February and July. During the year, we have continuous in-year monitoring in which we look at quarterly reports from the department. Towards the end of the year, between September and November, with the portfolio committee, we'll be looking at the annual report of the department and engaging with the budget and review and recommendation report. But that's within a normal given year in which the cabinet or hotline the sonar is with starts in January 5th. But for the interim period 14-15, what we have is budget vote 8, program 2, and the sonar for June 2014. Again, this just explains some of the key moments in time during the budget cycle. In terms of expectations, the Parliament is about it approves or amends the budget as per the Money Bills Act and ensures the budget matches the nation's needs with the resources that are available. And here in the engagement with various stakeholders is particularly important because we begin to understand, and I will look at the sector analysis, what are the issues emerging from the ground, and how is that matched with what government is prioritizing. As reiterating what Nadeva said, the debate on vote 8 for women, children and persons with disabilities on the 16th of July 2014 in 249, and I think at 10 o'clock in the morning. It runs just after the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. I think important to note is, with our previous department, we had women, children and persons with disabilities. In our new ministry, Program 2, dealing with women, was referred to us. Program 3 and 4, which is around children and disability, was resigning with the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. And I see in the presentation that the department has brought to us today, they actually present on everything, women, children and persons with disabilities, but just looking at where our role falls in. In terms of key documents again, I think the key three things for what's important for members for this interim period is the priorities identified in June 2014, the State of the Nation Address. Vote 8, Program 2, which is the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Program, and the Annual Performance Plan for our department, which was tabled in March 2014 of this year. In terms of the strategic plan, the department was very kind to forward us correspondence that they received from the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, in which it was indicated that the department, the ministry, would need to, one, develop a staff plan, the first draft by the 31st of August, and then the second draft by the end of November to cabinet. So, only once that staff plan is finalized, would
would come to parliamental tabling. So we would moderate at the sense that that ready setter 2015 to 2020 will actually only be available maybe the beginning of next year. So just some key issues around looking at our key target group in terms of women. The UNDP looks at gender equality in many countries across the world and produces a report on an annual basis. In last year, when they looked at South Africa and how we were doing in terms of dealing with gender inequality, it looked at various indices, various measures, reproductive health, empowerment and economic activity. South Africa, in terms of gender inequality index, rated 90 at 148 countries. So we're feeling middle of the way. In comparison to Namibia, that's ranked number 86, and the Congo at number 132. In terms of parliamentary seat for women, it was at 41%. In terms of adult women and reach secondary higher level education, 68.9 compared to 72.2%. In terms of maternal death and mortality and infant mortality, for every 1,000 births, 300 women die from pregnancy-related causes. In terms of adolescent fertility, rated at 50.4 per live birth. Female participation in the labour market is 44% as compared to 60.8% for men. So again, we begin to see the disparities between the challenges faced by women. So in a snapshot, in terms of women, 54% of the population, they are a significant component of our electorate. The challenges, as noted before, based on internationally how we're feeling, high unemployment, levels of poverty, the feminization of poverty, women as if households responsible for children, often bears and places burden in relation to poverty. Issues of land reform is key in relation to women. Quadruple burden of disease, not just in terms of how to fix women, in terms of their morbidity, mortality, but also around the burden of care, the responsibility of women having to look after sick members of family. In terms of education and skills, our uptake rate in terms of children actually attending to school, that's really very good. But the attrition holding girls and boys up to matric and entering into tertiary education, it's not that great. That's really ruling many. Gender-based violence that members know on a daily basis, we face with media reports about atrocities, not just faced by women, children and persons with disabilities. Our key stakeholders, every single government department has responsibility to look at addressing gender equality in the country. So to the private and the business sector, civil society in terms of NGOs as well as the role of the media, particularly important for the sector that we're dealing with. There's been numerous advances and achievements made by government over the past 2 years, both in socio-economic and civil political rights. We signed many regional and national treaties, again saying how much we value the importance of women's rights. So there's been numerous policy and initiative developments. Over the years, the past 20 years, we have various structures specifically focusing on dealing with women in the country, as well as the Commission for Gender Equality, which is a Chapter 9 institution. Focusing now on the State of the Nation Address, June 2014, and why that's important in relation to Vote 8. As the President has noted, the government's aim is about promoting women's empowerment and development. The purpose of the ministry is to promote women's socio-economic empowerment, development and human rights. In the three columns, various issues were identified as priorities. On the far left, under NDP was noted as the key overarching framework. One was raised unemployment, poverty and inequality. I think for all the items listed on the left, it's to understand, one, how are women as beneficiaries benefiting from those various sectors? So in terms of women in the workforce, but also the flip side is how in terms of all of these areas that impact on the lives of women. For example, if you're looking at mining, it's not just about women in mining, but also the impact of housing and development and socio-economic conditions of families of mine workers and women in that context. In terms of socio-economic issues, eradication of the bucket system, poverty around social grants, education, getting goals, not just for your primary but secondary education as well as facilitating entry into tertiary education. Substance abuse was identified as a key issue. Health, as noted before, maternal mortality, infant mortality, all impacting on women and young girls. In terms of disability, the president had noted around ratify the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, it's about domesticating that. And again, for women with disabilities, what are the implications? Crime, as you've noted, gender-based violence is a serious concern. Again, it's for all these items, how are these priorities participation in Vote 8, as Crystal will talk to. So there are a lot, but even the department mandate, how is that being translated? And just in summary, in the fourth parliament, there are various issues that I think have particular importance in moving forward. One, our budget review and recommendations report. The previous committee has noted several recommendations there which we will make available to members this afternoon, we can email. Two, the department, the PV department had a turnaround strategy, and that was to look at issues around infrastructure, finance, and HR. Again, it's to begin to understand when we engage with the department, are there any outstanding matters from the turnaround strategy, and how will that be dealt with, and how does it affect Program 2, which Chris will discuss. In terms of the Fussman report, that was a report that looked at issues within the department. The minister had briefed the committee on it previously, and again, is to ask, are there any outstanding matters, how are the leftover issues being dealt with in the year going forward. In terms of the Commission for Gender Equality and Program 2, which Crystal will discuss, in the fourth term, the members had raised, given the fact that the CG is a Chapter 9 institution, some of these programs had seditions with that of the Department Program 2, Women Involvement, and again, it's beginning to see how have they ensured better synergy and where's the overlap to avoid duplication. In terms of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence, now, previous department, that was allocated and located in Program 1, but it has direct bearing on women. And again, to ask the department, what will happen to the National Council on Gender-Based Violence, would our new minister be responsible for it? And if not, where would it go to directly affect women? Another key issue is resolutions around the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women. Every year, the minister, as well as a parliamentary delegation, both the United Nations, where at a global level, issues of women are discussed and resolutions are taken. And it's the responsibility then of government to come back and look at how we implement those resolutions. In terms of parliament, it's our role to see and oversee, in terms of the resolutions, have they been implemented, if not, why not. Again, in terms of treaty compliance, there are several treaties that affect women. And again, signed up from the department for 2014-15, what are the next country reports that are due? How would you pay for that? We're doing that. And our role would be to oversee that it is done and what are the outcomes of those reports for monitoring and evaluation. Another key outstanding matter is the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Law. Last year we had public hearings, the NA dealt with it, to send to the NCRP, the NCRP dealt with it, and there were one or two amendments and it was now sent back to the NA. So it's all a matter which fully our committee will have to take up again. So just in summary, key questions for consideration would be, will the mission and vision of the new ministry be different or similar to our previous department? If so, what would be the differences? Again, implications for CGE. Will the CGE still remain with the new ministry? And then last year, looking again around the importance of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. I'll now hand over to Crystal to vote, to specifically at budget vote, Program 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Kashifa. Sorry, Chair, I'm just not sure. Was there a handout on your presentation? I don't seem to have it. Did I miss it? Is this one? This one? Sorry. Okay. Okay, thank you.
thank you, members. I hope everyone has had a able to look at the document, the one that says budget, vote, and annual performance plan analysis, vote 8 on the top. I'm not going to go through each and every word in the interest of time. I'm just going to try and highlight some of the key issues for members. I think the first important thing that we have to notice that this vote was prepared in February when it was still the Department for Women, Children, and All the Disabilities. So all the figures, all the objectives, all the plans related to the department as it existed at that time. At the moment, we don't have clarity around what exactly is going to be. We know that Program 2 now resides within our committee, and 3 and 4 is going to social development. But there's obviously still overlap, and also at this point, we don't want to assume that the numbers remain at ease. I think we will take guidance from the department, from the ministry once they can present to us, to really understand what the, in terms of stock complement, in terms of budget reallocations, and taking forward certain strategic objectives and goals, where exactly those reside. Following the presentation, I think we'll know more. So I think the first thing that I just want to indicate is that in total, the department had allocated a budget, so had a budget of 218 million for the 14-15 financial year. And 42.2% of that had gone for the Women's Empowerment and Gender Equality Program. However, 72% of that budget, of that program, is the transfer payment to the CGB, which only then leaves the city as a department or that program with an operating budget of 25.1 million. If we turn over page on page 2, just outlining what the program aims were, it was to facilitate the transition of national and international instruments into empowerment and socio-economic development programs and to oversee and report on the realization of women's rights and equality. I'm not going to go into all the details, I'd say, members, I'm going to leave it at you later. I also just want to say that there is a full budget paper containing also programs 3 and 4, because these from the department's annual performance that they're going to present, that they include all the programs, so we can forward that to members. I've just pulled out program 2 for the purposes of our committee. So the first sub-program that is under program 2 is the Advocacy and Mainstreaming for Gender Equality. And that program promotes the mainstreaming of women's empowerment and gender equality considerations into government policies and processes of governance. For the 13-14 year, it was aimed at accelerating women's socioeconomic development as well as ending gender-based violence, and included the finalization of Women's Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill. As Kashifa indicates, that bill has come back and will probably be dealing with it at a later stage. So for the previous year, it had a budget of 8.3 million, and that budget is to be increased to 11.9 million for the 14-15 financial year. The second sub-program is Institutional Support and Capacity Building for Gender Equality, and that program coordinates institutional support and capacity development by promoting synergy among government departments, civil society, and the private sector. The previous financial year looked at gender issues consultations and mainstreaming sessions with local entities, as well as the distribution of a gender scorecard and an analysis of gender response budgeting. There was a staff complement of 4, and so the budget of 4.1 million for the 13-14 financial year was to be increased to 4.7 million in 2014-15. The last sub-program there is Monitoring and Evaluation of Gender Equality, and that program monitors, evaluates, and reports on the promotion of the realization of the rights of women within all government entities to ensure compliance and conduct impact assessments. The budget for that program was to be increased from 7.2 million to 8.5 million for the 14-15 financial year. And then, as I've indicated, the total program budget was 92 million, and 67.2 million of that was the transfer to the Commission of Gender Equality. If we look at the expenditure estimates, of the 25 million of the operating budget of the year that the program was left with, 14.5 million was allocated to goods and services, and a further 10.1 million to the compensation of employees. But there were specific line items in terms of food services indicating that exactly what the money is going to be spent for. I think part of the problem also that in this case we also didn't have a strategic plan. The cash of outlines will only have a revised strategic plan in August and then a finalized plan by November, so we'll only look at that in the new year. So it's difficult to sort of look at the synergy between this document, budget, the strategic plan and the annual performance plan, we don't actually have all the information available. So I think we'll have more clarity than also once the department has presented to us. I think then just in the conclusion, I think given the change from being a standalone department to now being a ministry within the presidency, there's obvious administrative implications for the budget. I think in particular in relation to the National Council on Gender-Based Violence, where will that now reside, given that it was in a different program previously, and will carrying two now assume that, will it now be taken up by the new ministry? Those are all things that we don't have clarity on. So in all likelihood, there will probably have to be a review of the strategy and programming from what it was in the previous department to the new ministry, and we'll have to get more guidance on that. If we turn over the page, what I've done there is I've just pulled out from the annual performance plan the program performance indicators first sub-program. I only looked at quarter one and quarter two targets because I just thought that also today we will have more clarity. I didn't want to see everything be if things are going to change. So I've just looked at that. And then on the right-hand side, on the far right, I've just put key comments for consideration for members' interest. So the breakdown of program indicators of the annual target that they've set, the quarter one target, quarter two target, and then as I said, key questions for consideration in relation to those. I'm not going to, in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through all of those. I just got a highlight on the very last page where I put overall comments and questions for consideration. Again, the APT was drawn up by the department for women, children, and people with disabilities, and as such, the targets and plans reflected in it are in relation to the mandate of that department. Although only Program 2 has been referred to the Committee for Consideration, much of the department's works and targets were interrelated. At the time of this analysis, no information regarding the reconfiguration of the department was available, and so it's only based, as I've indicated previously, on what we had available. Then there's just a few questions there. First one is that given that this is a newly formed ministry, is it feasible to commit to the targets as set in the APP for the 2014-15 year? Or would they need to be revised? Will they be met? And if they are sticking to what's here, have all the quarter one targets been met thus far? Secondly, has there been a handover of completed and continued projects from the previous department to the new ministry? And are there any risks which the new ministry has identified which could impact on projects and deliverability? If there are risks, what are the mitigation factors that or mechanisms that they identified to deal with these risks? Most importantly, what is the current or approved or revised budget allocation? The budget as per ACP stands at 91.7 million, with 67.2 million being transferred to the Commission for Gender Equality. Then what is the staff complement and associated costs? Have staff from the previous department been transferred into the new ministry? And what is the status of the relationship with the Commission for Gender Equality? I think at this point we are assuming that they are still, because they've fallen under that term before, but we don't know. So previously, the department was responsible for transfer payment to the CGE, but it's still being administered via this ministry. And then lastly, just an extra question. In terms of strategic objectives, will it remain as is in terms of this program, or will all of those be revised? Thank you.
In terms of our program, the department is supposed to start 11. So I'm not sure if members want to ask questions for clarity. But I'm told the department is outside here for the presentation at 11. We should call them. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Can we actually acknowledge the presence of the minister and his anchorage? I hope we're going to be working very closely. And there are some guys and some young people. I said I don't believe in Asanda. I don't believe in packages. So actually I think you can squeeze yourselves, pull your chairs and try and sit next to each other. I'll give you 3 minutes to do that. Then we'll start. Thank you.
Something is wrong there. People have squeezed together, and yet you can actually cross the floor, not politically.
Thank you very much. We are here to present our annual report, but also our financial report. All of us are new, I think even myself. But what we are going to do, Chairperson, is that we're going to present a report based on where we come from, because that's what we're supposed to be presenting today. We'll be presenting a report, as you can see on the board, which talks about women, children, and people with disabilities. The reason we're doing that, we are a department which is in transit, a department which I hope next time we meet will be only women. But because the reports, the annual reports we're having, deal with all the other categories, hence we'll be tailoring that report for this committee to adopt. Otherwise, if we are not going to be able to do that, it means that we will not be able to table anything. Hence, it will be a crucial discussion which we have instigated to discuss among ourselves and adopt. We're still waiting for the confirmation of the Department of Women. It has not been done yet. So we're still waiting for the president with all the rearrangement of new or restructuring of cabinet and portfolios. We're still waiting for that to be, for us to be put in purely as women. But for now, we're working on the basis of men, children and police disability. And our approach to that, I said to the team, whilst we might not dwell much in the area of women and people with disability and try and focus on women, but I think it's critical for us, Chairperson, to present the whole report as is and make sure that then we're able to move forward. So that's what we are going to do today. And without any waste of time, I'm going to request Didi Jim Kani to present on behalf of the team. The approach we're taking, Chairperson and Honourable Members, she will present the whole report. Then if there are questions, issues arise, then the other members of the team will be able to respond to questions raised or comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Honourable Members, the outline of the presentation will cover the background, the strategic overview, the annual assessment plan for 2014-15, and assessment and expenditure trends, and that will be the end of the presentation. When we developed the annual assessment plan, it was as per the guidance of the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation that we based it on the previous strategic plan. So we only, as members would recall that we are in a new term, so we'll have a new strategy plan in this term next year. So the annual assessment plan was developed taking into consideration both internal and external environmental factors within which the department operates, and these include inequality, poverty, unemployment, which we know that mostly affects women, children and people with disabilities. We also took into consideration the five priorities of government, which is education, health, creating decent employment, fighting crime and corruption, and rural development and land reform. We also considered the National Development Plan and the draft mid-term strategic framework, which was not yet final at the time, and also the State of the Nation Address. In terms of the developmental strategy, our vision is an empowered society that recognizes and upholds the rights of women, children, and people with disabilities. And our mission is to mainstream the rights and empowerment of women, children, and people with disabilities through advocacy, institutional support, and capacity development, monitoring and evaluation, and reporting. We've also adopted values that guide us as a department as we do our work, and these values are core. First one is commitment, and when we define it, we say to serve and promote the well-being of all women, children, and people with disabilities. The second one is collectivism, which is to promote a culture of social cohesion and advocate collective effort in all activities. Equity, which is to exercise fair discrimination or impartiality at all times. And accountability, which is to account for all our actions in delivering on our mandate. As a department, we then prioritize our outcomes-oriented goals, and these are four. The first one is the realization of the rights of women, children, and people with disabilities improved. Now, when we define that goal, our goal statement says that the rights of women, children, and people with disabilities fully integrated in legislation and national policies, focus on trends in the status of women, children, and people with disabilities, monitored and reported on periodically at the national, regional, continental, and international requirements through the progressive development and maintenance of monitoring and evaluation framework.
also continental and international commitments integrated into national planning and service delivery initiatives through coordination of strategic and catalytic processing projects. The second goal is empowerment of women, children and people with disabilities, facilitators for equitable access to public and private sector programs and services. Now, when we define this goal, our statement there is that all women, children and people with disabilities reach their full potential and have equal and universal access to social, training, economic and political opportunities by removing attitudinal, physical and communication barriers, preventing full participation and beneficiation. The third one is an effective and efficient governance processes of the department. This is where we ensure compliance with all requirements that govern us as a department and make sure that internal procedures and processes are geared towards achieving a clean audit. The fourth one is that reported incidents of gender-based violence reduced. As I had just indicated earlier, these are based on the old strategy. Then the strategic objectives following from that are to facilitate and coordinate the eradication of gender-based violence, strengthen good governance for the department to deliver on its mandate, promote, advocate, and monitor women's empowerment of women, women's empowerment and gender equality, advocate for the realization of children's rights and responsibilities, improve universal access and meaningful participation of women, children, and people with disabilities in all aspects of life. Then we'll then go per program. The purpose of program one, the purpose of this program is to provide strategic management and administrative support to the department. It's also to ensure that the department has effective strategic leadership, administration, and management in order to ensure that it complies with all legislative prescripts. It consists of the Ministry, the Office of the Director General, and Corporate Management. And its strategic objectives, as I had indicated in the previous slide, are to facilitate and coordinate the eradication of gender-based violence, strengthen good governance for the department to deliver on its mandate. Now, the medium targets, which also have a three-year outlook as per the requirements, are as follows. I will first read the key performance indicator, which is to coordinate the implementation of prevention campaign against gender-based violence through awareness materials and capacity building. And then for the 2014-15 financial year, we've prioritized the implementation of a prevention campaign to eliminate gender-based violence. And you will see that this has three phases. The first phase will be done in 2014-15, and the outer years have also prioritized phase 2 and phase 3. The second performance indicator there is the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence for 2014 to 2019 developed. And in the first year, the National Strategic Plan will be approved by the National Council on Gender-Based Violence. In the second year, we facilitate the implementation of the National Strategic Plan and National Program Plan of Action. In the third year, coordinate, evaluate, and monitor implementation of the National Strategic Plan. Then we then go to your sort of compliance indicators. The first one there is the number of quarterly internal audit reports issued on the three-year rolling plan, which is a risk-based and performance audit. In the basically for all the years, we've prioritized four quarterly audits, one each quarter. So even for the outer years, we've also prioritized four reports. The next one is the number of follow-up audit reports issued and tabled to the audit committee. Again, here, this target is numerical, in that we prioritize four, which is one per quarter, and also for the outer years, it's four. The next one is the percentage of all service providers paid within the 30 days. The committee will recall that this is a matter that is high priority and it's also prioritized at prudential level that all departments must pay their service providers within 30 days. And in this regard, we are then also reported as cabinet in terms of our compliance. So the government also prioritized this indicator, and for the year, we want to ensure that 100% of all service providers that we've done business with are paid within 30 days. Also for the other years, we've given us 100%. And then the next one is the percentage of deviation of expenditure against allocated funding. As we know that when you budget, you also provide, you give yourself space in case prices go up or there are changes. However, we said the deviation in the allocation, in the allocated budget, should not be more than 5%. And this target remains the same throughout the term. Also, the next one is the percentage of reduction of vacancy rate. Also here, as a government, we've been given a 10% target, so at least the vacancy rate should not be more than 10%. And then we said that we really want to stick to that and monitor ourselves, and we maintain the targets throughout the years. The next one, it's the percentage of women employed in senior management positions in the department. We say that we have targeted that at least 50% of women employed in senior management positions, 50% of employees should be women, and keep this target throughout the years. The next one is the employment of people with disabilities. We've adopted the public service percentage of 2%, where we say throughout the years we want to maintain this 2% target. The next one relates to the percentage of compliance with the occupational health and safety standards. As we know that these are the issues that affect the wellness of staff or employees in the department, so we also prioritize this. And we're saying we're going to comply 100% with the occupational health and safety standards. The next one is the percentage of uptime of the main ICT systems. As we know that for us to do our work, we rely heavily on the ICT systems, and we know from time to time the ICT becomes unavailable due to maintenance. So we are saying that at least we guarantee that 95% of the time the ICT system will be available. It could be 99%, but we felt that 95% is reasonable. So this target again is maintained throughout the years. The next one is the coordination and facilitation for an inclusive participation of all the sectors at local, national, regional, multilateral, and bilateral levels, as well as on treaty obligations. And this indicator, you will see that it remains the same also when you articulate it in terms of the target, because we have schedules on bilateral and national and regional participation. So we then say we will comply with those schedules, with that schedule. Some of the engagements are not planned. It's ad hoc meetings that the department might not be able to avoid. So over and above the ones that are on the schedule, then you have those additional ones. The next one is approved communication strategy. For the first quarter, for the first year, we've said that we'll develop and implement the approved communication strategy. And then in the next year, we'll review and implement another strategy. So this strategy will continuously be reviewed annually. And also, in the third year, we will do an impact assessment of the communication strategy. The next key performance indicator relates to the research agenda finalized and implemented. And then based on the research agenda, we're saying in the first year we'll issue 3 reports that are aligned to the research agenda of the department. And that target is kept throughout the years. The next one is the number of policy gap analysis reports produced. So what we'll also do is to look at the policy that is there and do a gap analysis to check how far government is implementing the policies that are there. And you said that in the first year, which is 14-15, we'll prioritize 3, and we have also kept this numerical target throughout the year. And we also, with regards to the current capacity that we have as a department. The next one also is a hotline service delivery and complaints resolved. And we're saying that in the first year we'll undertake to at least resolve about 60%, and in the next year we'll target the 65%, in the following year 70%. Here we'd like to also state that as a department we've always resolved all the presidential issues that emanate from the hotline. Anti-corruption initiative championed. What we then said that in the first year we will have four initiatives. These include awareness, as we know that in the public service we are required to raise awareness and allow employees and whoever interacts with the department to know how and where to report corruption, how to address suspected corruption. So we are undertaking that we will have four anti-corruption campaigns championed, and yes, we're keeping this target throughout the years. Then that is the program, that's program one. Now going to program two, which is men empowerment and gender equality, which we normally call RGE. The purpose of the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Program is to facilitate and report comprehensively on the translation of national and international commitments into empowerment and socioeconomic development programs towards the realization of women's rights and the progressive realization of equality. In this program, we have advocating mainstreaming, institutional support and capacity building, monitoring and evaluation. And as indicated earlier there, our strategic objectives there are to promote, advocate and monitor women's empowerment and gender equality, also facilitate and coordinate the elimination of gender-based violence. Now when we look at program performance indicators for the three, for the year and the other years, the first one is the number of programs on gender parity coordinated. Let me say again here the targets are numerical. In that in first year we prioritized one, in the second year we prioritized two, in the third year we prioritized three. And the next one is the number of women reached through advocacy interventions to empower women and eliminate discrimination. For the first year, we have targeted that we will reach at least 30,000 women. Also, this is considering the resources that we have. And the next year, we prioritize that this will reach 45,000 women. And the next year, we prioritize that we will reach at least 60,000 women. The next one is the number of programs for women's economic empowerment. Again, here, the targets are numerical in that in the first year, we have prioritized one program. Also, we keep this number throughout the years. The next one is the number of programs on gender mainstreaming coordinated. Again, the target in America is that for the first year we prioritized one, and the following years it's two, and the next year it's three. So the target is a bit is incremental. The next performance indicator there is the number of capacity building and institutional support activities facilitated. Again, these are numerical. The first year we prioritize four, the second year six, and the year after that six. The next one is the number of initiatives on institutional support and capacity development framework undertaken. Again, they are numerical in that we're saying we have four, and also in the other years we'll have four. So we keep this target. The next one is the number of national gender machinery sessions coordinated. Again, the targets are numerical. In the first year, we've prioritized two. In the outer years, we've prioritized four and four. Again, the number of initiatives for young women facilitated. In the first year, we prioritized four. In the next year, we prioritize four again. So we keep this target again throughout the upper years. And then on monitoring and evaluation,
we say that the target, the pertinent indicator, there is a number of status reports on women empowerment and gender equality compiled. This also links to one of the reports, one of the reports that have been identified under international relations. Actually, the one under that, I apologize. On this pertinent indicator on the number of status reports on women empowerment and gender equality compiled, we've prioritized two reports, and we keep this number throughout the years. The next is the number of compliance reports to regional, continental, and international commitments compiled. This is the one that links to international relations. And for the first year, we prioritized three reports. The second year is four reports, and the following year is four reports. And that is the end of the OG branch. As Minister indicated, we are covering also children and people with disabilities. So the next program is children's rights and responsibilities. The purpose of this branch is to promote, advocate, and monitor the realization of children's rights through government policies and programs. Also, like the OG branch, it consists of advocacy and mainstream, institutional support and capacity building, monitoring and evaluation, and then its strategic objective is to advocate for the realization of children's rights and responsibilities. Now, the targets that we've prioritized there, the performance indicator, the first one is the number of municipalities targeted for mainstreaming children's rights in line with the National Plan of Action for Children. The targets there for the year, in the first year we prioritize four municipalities, the next, at the outside is six municipalities, and also in the other year it's six municipalities. The next performance indicator is the number of social campaigns on the rights of children conducted. Again, the target is numerical, where we, in the first year, we prioritize three social campaigns, the second year, four social campaigns, and the next year, five social campaigns. The next one is the number of children participating sessions held on empowerment of children. And this covers things like the Children's Parliament. Here, in the first year, we prioritized two sessions, and also we keep this target throughout the year. Again, the next target, the next performance indicator here is the number of children's rights machineries convened. Again, here we prioritize two machineries per year and keep this target throughout the midterm. The number of municipalities, the next one is the number of municipalities capacitated to implement the child-friendly communities framework. And on this one, the target in the first year is 20 municipalities. The next year is 40 municipalities, and the year after that is 50 municipalities. The next target is the number of capacity development initiatives coordinated. The first year is 6 initiatives, the second year is 10 initiatives, and the year after that is 12 initiatives. And then the next performance indicator there is the number of national MNE forum provincial and municipal M&E reports and on the status of children. And on this one, for the first year, we've prioritized one national M&E initiative on the status of children. And then also we've prioritized three provincial M&E reports and 6 municipalities workshop classes in the first year. In the second year, we've prioritized one national M&E initiative on children and then 12 self-assessments child and the communities connected. In the year after, this is one comprehensive report on children produced. And then the next one is M&E data system developed and implemented. In the first year, we have prioritized what we call Ulwa Zingabandwana database, launched and piloted. So this is information on data relating to children, as the name says. And then the next one, again, is in the year after this, it was in the data system produced, and the annual report on the status of children also produced.
And then the year after that, Ulwazi Ngabantwana data system produced, and they also an annual report on that. So the targets for 2015, 16, and 16, 17 are the same. The next one is the African Union report on the African rights and welfare of the child presented to the expert committee. That is the performance indicator. But in terms of the targets, there we are saying for the first year, one report presented to the African Union, and in the next year, UN report presented to the relevant committee, and then the year after they developed the fifth UNCRC periodic report. Now this is the last program, which is program four, the rights of people with disabilities. The purpose of this branch is to facilitate and report comprehensively on the translation of national and international obligations into empowerment and socio-economic development programs towards the realization of the rights of people with disabilities and equalization of opportunities. And the sub-programs there you see are the same as advocacy and mentoring, institutional support and capacity building, monitoring and evaluation. The strategic objective of Program 4 is improved universal access and meaningful participation of women, children and people with disabilities. The targets, therefore, the term, the first performance indicator is the number of disability rights campaigns coordinated, and the target there is one report for all the years. And then the next performance indicator, there is transversal policy and legislation to promote, protect and uphold rights of persons with disabilities developed. For the first year, we're saying that the national disability rights policy will be published. In the years after that, the legislation will be developed, and then the year after that, again, we say the legislation will be published. And then, again, the next performance indicator, there is the number of disability rights missionaries convened. It's two for all the years. Chair. Then the next one is the number of capacity development programs initiated to promote the realization of the rights of persons with disabilities. The first year, we've prioritized six programs, the second year, seven, and also in the next year, prioritize seven. Again, the next one is strategy to fast-track the employment of persons with disabilities. In the first year, we're going to develop the strategy, and then in the next year, we're going to implement and monitor the strategy, and also continue to implement and monitor the strategy in the third year. And then the last one, there is a number of reports on the status of persons with disabilities developed. And then again, there we've got two reports per year. And then as I go into the financial outlook, I just want to add that then over and above these targets that we have, we then have the TDI, the technical indicator definitions, where we go into detail as required by Auditor General. Now, with regards to our financials, Chairperson, we also are giving a reporting also holistically as women, children, and people with disabilities, and for the 3 years. The global figure there on administration for the first year is 96,365 million, and for the following year is 101,449 million, and then in the final year it's 107,996 million. For women, we have 92,250,000, and also in the following year we have 97,335, and then in the following year we have 102,489. With regards to women, this includes the budget for the Commission on Gender Equality, which we call the CGA. And then with regards to children, for the first year they have 11,550, and then in the next year 13,681,000. The following year, 404. For the rights of people with disabilities, there we have 18,365,000, and the following year it's 17,769,000,
and then in the following year is 18,709,000. So the, you see that our budget still remains below 250,000 with CGE included still for the at least from 2014 up until 2017. In terms of economic classification, there on compensation of employees, we have 84 million for the first year, and 89,281,000 for the second year, and 95,246,000 for the second year. And then on goods and services, we have 62 million for the first year, 62,643,000. Then the following year is 65,925,000. For the following year is 69,352,000. Then on current on transfers and subsidies, for the first year we have 67,241,000. Second year is 70,793,000. The final year is 24,540,000. And then on payment of for capital assets, for the first year we have 4,008,000, and then the second year we have 4,235,000. The next year we have 4,460,000. Then we also have a general budget support, which is geared towards gender-based violence, and this fund is basically 6,800,000, and it remains the same throughout the years. I would like to request the committee to just ignore the slide, because here we only focus on women, but whatever that is in this slide is included in this particular slide in my whole presentation. I think that's all I have presented. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. That's the projection of our annual report, including our finances as per the department, whilst it was inclusive. So I'd allow members to pose questions and observe what they think. Thanks, Chair. Over to you.
Over to the members. They can actually put their questions.
Okay, you can start.
Thank you very much. If you pose your question, please give us your name. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you to the Honourable Minister and the team. And thank you very much for the comprehensive report. I wanted to just get clarity in terms of whether this new department will just be inheriting Program 2. And if that is the case, whether the entire Program 2 in terms of its plans, its objectives and aims, whether that will be adopted as is, or whether there's any foreseen changes, and whether we are correct to say that the entire Program 3 and 4 will be handed over to social development. Also, I think as a committee, we seek clarity as to whether the CGE will still receive its funding from this ministry's budget, and also what will be done in future to look into the fact that we've seen overlapping. This will be a department looking after the women's interests, women's rights, but the CGE also has an overlapping responsibility, and what can be done, or what could this new ministry do to ensure that there's not overlapping roles and functions. And also, just to get an update, I'm grateful to see the CEO of the National Council of Gender-Based Violence here. Just also to find out whether this body, which is recently established, whether it will still form part of the Women's Ministry, or what will happen to it. Thank you. Did I give my name? Oh. I'm Lisa Panamarva. Thank you.
Madam Chair, my name is Nokole Simajere from the Eastern Cape. Honorable Minister and delegates, I hope I won't be derailing this portfolio committee with either my comment or question. I see the presentation, it's very good. The background she presented, the values,
strategic plans. I come from the rural areas, and I can see in the objectives, the education, the health, there's also rural development, etc. Now, my concern is, does the department have an analysis of areas where there are disabled children? I'll talk in particular from the area that I come from. There are children that are not attending school who are disabled and who are very capable with their hands. And the neighboring schools that are there are always full, and as a result, these children are not attending school. And number two, these children, you find that some of them are able to sew with their hands, and others are able to crochet and do beads. Those who are a little adult, because every year they are not attending school, as a result, they are staying at home. So I was wondering if the department, within their strategic plans for the children with disabilities, they can look into getting some of these areas so that these children can go to school. Because when you go to the Department of Education, they refer us to public work, which is supposed to put schools. So I don't know how long this program will take to be able to accommodate such children, even in the other areas. I'm talking generally because I'm sure that some of these children are in the other areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon Dundee. Thank you. Obviously, the questions that have been asked are very important, particularly around getting an understanding of what the ministry is going to, at the end of the day, be. The impression I get from the presentation is that it's not going to change very much. So my question would be, so maybe we're going back to something else and there's some changes in the middle there. But if there are going to be any differences, what do you think those differences might be or might not be? When I saw anti-corruption campaign, I wondered why would anti-corruption campaigns fall in your basket? And I might have picked it up wrong or whatever. And the other thing is, obviously, this ministry does a lot of reports, and those reports will obviously there'll be an idea of where those reports' destination is. What kind of powers do you have to hold other departments or wherever those reports are going accountable? I'm just wondering, after the reports, what is our role? What would your role be? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the Minister for being present today and for being open to this sort of discussion right at the beginning. I think this particular department has had a checkered history. In the third term, we hope that it's going to be really performing well. I also have questions that have already been asked, so I'm not going to repeat them. But particularly, our role, I think, will still be more monitoring than implementation. This has always been a bit of a challenge, because what do you do besides get reports from other people and then come with comments? So in a sense, it's easier to be a department that can execute as well. But on the other hand, I always felt that disability, for example, was better under social development. So I'm happy about this, and I hope that we can deal with our section for women and the gender inequalities and gender injustice, which is something that is very important to me. But I had a question from a member of the public who has a problem. Firstly, it's a gender problem, but then she happens to be disabled as well. Now, I just wondered, I didn't quite know how to solve the problem. And I'm just wondering what our relationship would be with social development, for example. Do we deal with the gender aspect and then refer it to somebody else, or do we say that it's a disabled woman, therefore her interests fall entirely within the scope of the other committee? Thank you.
I'll take that hand as the last one, so that we can set that. Michael, to that one, so that people can get answers, and then you come in. Are you the only one besides her? How many more hands? Okay, let's take the last two. Last three, actually.
Two.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Minister, thank you very much for presenting this report. But maybe you should pardon my...
Honourable members, please.
My name is Patricia.
Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. My name is Patricia Chu, and thank you very much, Chair. Honourable Minister, you'll pardon my ignorance, but I was of the impression that what we are given here will continue until the financial year ends, because we can't change any budgets of the department at the moment. But if I'm wrong, you'll correct me. I have a number of questions. Whilst the presenter was presenting, I see that your targets are very low, and I think in the process you even acknowledged that your targets are very, very low, where you were saying one of the examples that you gave was the target in terms of the presidential questions that are coming on at hotline, and you said you have been doing 100% of those questions, but in terms of your targets, or are you doing it so that you can get a performance bonus so that you must always reach your targets? Or do you want to perform in this particular category? And the issue of gender is a huge responsibility in terms of unemployment, inequality, and poverty. It's not clear what are these programs that you're coming up with that are going to engage those three priorities that affects women immensely. So I'm not clear what exactly are you going to do. So, and I think if we are allowed to just unpack these programs that you have outlined here, I think I have more than 50 questions that I want to ask in the question, but I don't know if I have to ask, and that is why I'll be continuing with this program until the financial year, and then maybe next year, and that you can do the women's responsibility that you have been given. I don't know, so you'll give me a go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Poli Bushiela. My comment is on the budget on page 29. I can see that in terms of children's rights and responsibility, and I'm mindful that it might move from this department, the budget is very low given the magnitude of challenges that we have in terms of children. I'm not sure what are we doing to deal with this budget issue. And maybe as a committee, what might we do or what might we have to do to assist the department to be able to implement these programs? Because this is at the face of service dealers.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson, and let me thank the Minister and the team for presenting this information. My question relates to the gender-based violence. Oh, my name. Okay, thank you, Honorable Izelle. My name is Grace Drake. Yes. The question relates to the gender-based violence. I see this budget of 6.8 that is allocated to gender-based violence, and I'm not quite sure whether it is the only budget or the only money that is will be allocated to this committee, because there's a lot of work that is supposed to be done by this committee, and the challenges also that are facing women in this country and children too are very rife. You know, there's violence each and every day. Women are killed each and every day. So I just want to check whether is there any funding from any donor funding that you already received as the gender-based violence committee. And the other issue is, given the fact that the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill is not yet finalized, I know it's within the parliamentary prisons. Do you have any other tool that will make sure that you enforce either public or private sector to implement the 50-50 in gender equality? And the last thing, last but one, In terms of your key performance indicators, you indicated that percentage for persons with disability to be employed in the departments, I think you're talking about all the government departments, it's 2%, and from 2014 to 2017 it remains at 2%, and I think we'll all agree that 2% has been in the years, in the previous years, and unfortunately we have not yet implemented. There are other departments who have not yet managed to implement this 2%. Does it make sense for now just to continue with the 2%, or do you have any strategies in place to make sure that we increase? You know, there's an outcry from that sector, disability sector, that we normally sideline persons with disabilities. And the other thing, you know, going forward as the ministry, I think we must run away from, or we must try to improve or change the way that we are working. You know, every time we get information that the department will be drafting this policy, will be reviewing this policy, will be consulting, you know, these consultative workshops and whatever, but we don't seem to have a program that will be able to change the lives of our people. You know, when we were doing our door-to-door programs on the elections, we came across many challenges that are facing women, that are facing people with disabilities, that are facing young people, you know. So we must come up with programs that will be able to make changes in their lives. We must be able to have relations with other departments, your economic development department, your trade and industry and so forth, so that they can be able to come up with programs that will be able to better the lives of our communities. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the questions. May I then give the floor to the ministry?
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. I'm new, so you can't expect me to answer all those things.
Exactly. So some of those who are here, they have some of the solutions, so they must advise us what we should actually need to do. I'll answer broadly, then I think the team will be able to deal with the issues specifically which are related to the department as it stands today, not about the future. Just maybe on the first question of program two, indeed, that's going to be our core function or core business, the issue of women. The others are going to, we're already working on transition together with social development. So we are a department in transit, if I have to put it that way. So if you look at the budgets now or anything, we're working on how is social development going to absorb those people who were specifically on the disability and the children. So we are busy with that right now. So I thought it's important to understand that there is a process which we have to deal with that. And the issue of CGE will remain with us because it's relevant to us. So it can't move. If they're not happy, unfortunately they're going to be stuck with us. And they'll have to live with that. They're going to be part of us. Just now on the issue of rural areas, I think all of us, it's not only in the Eastern Cape, the issue of disabled children, even if you're not going to be in that place, it's a challenge for the whole country. And it's not only in rural areas, all over, across the board, it's still a big challenge. And the reason why a decision by the president has been taken that the children with disability must go to social development, part of the challenge, the facilities of people with disability and children are mainly with social development, or their programs are there. So I was not on this committee, but I know there are tensions. There are tensions, not necessarily of people, but of how do you make sure that they are adequately funded and taken care of. And also if you look at the laws which govern children and disabilities, are more within social development. So that's why a decision was taken to say, let's separate them from women,
they go back to social development where then they can be properly taken care of in terms of the law, in terms of the resources. Because even now, the money we have here, it's a change. I mean, there's no money. And if we have to continue, there'll be no money, including children. There'll be no money because the laws which govern children are in the social development, special dispensation, everything, abuse of children, everything is there. Hence the decision to say, we must separate them from women. For them to be in a proper space and where they will be able to get adequate support, because we don't have that support. We also support to think, to believe that that's the best place for them to belong to. Unlike, because if you really ask, what was this department doing for children? You know? Just, I mean, what is it? There's no adequate funding. You can tell, as some of the colleagues indicated, there's no money. I mean, 6 million or whatever, 11 million, it's not enough. So that's why there's an intention of moving it to back to social development, the children back to social development. As you know, there are special experts in there, psychologists, social workers. You find them in social development. So we're like Tiki, they intend the ritual of how we need to take back the children in making sure that they're adequately taken care of instead of depleting them. So I think that's the issue which is important on program 3 and 4, that they need to move. And I think the point you raised in Honorable College of Analysis, if we look at social development, there's a lot of work which has been done around children and disability in terms of just trying to identify their status, their challenges. They do have, and it's adequate, or well, there's never adequate. But at least there's sufficient money or funds to deal with those kind of issues, but also generally, for them to continue looking at the challenges, then that's the right space. That's why now they've been taken back to social development to get adequate attention. And I think we also know that there's social development working closely with the Department of Education, especially basic education. And I think we are aware that there's also a government policy which says kids who are disabled, we need to integrate more than keeping them separately. So in social development together with basic education, it will find itself much better. And if you can really say, what is this ministry's responsibility? Nothing, not much, or nothing at all. So that's the purpose of alignment. Honorable Jutley, there will be differences from what we have as this portfolio in terms of women and the future. One of the things which we're going to do, we're going to restructure completely. So what we're presenting here is, you know, that it's what needs to go through Parliament and we close this chapter. So that's the purpose. But the future will be different. Just to share with you what I think we heard the President saying that we need to streamline gender issue. That's what is going to happen. The socioeconomic conditions of women have to be taken aboard. But also we've agreed with the President that part of doing that, we're going to look at the economic conditions of women. Whilst we acknowledge that there are social challenges, but the key factor for us is your economic conditions, because if we can empower women, it will change their lives. And hence we're not going to serve on a social cluster only. Our priority cluster is going to be the economic and employment cluster. Then the others will come after, because if we really have to change the plight of women, women must be able to sustain themselves. So that's why it's going to be our major focus, and that will be our anchor for this department to move forward. Your social issues and all those kinds, they will follow, but we think that we need to be at the center of our economy in empowering women. So that's going to be the anchor of where we are going in future. When it comes to monitoring issues of women, disability, they will go there. The other point which maybe I need to indicate, our mandate will also going to change. It will also to oversee how government departments are dealing with women issues. So we're going to be the chairperson, the most unpopular department. Yeah, we will be honest, we're going to be unpopular because we must oversee our own colleagues whether they do take women programs seriously in their departments. Not only that, one of the tasks which has been given is to also look at their budgeting as department budget. Do they have gender-sensitive budgets or the budget is normal that we all the same, without really trying to make sure that in their budgeting processes they can say we have budget which is gender-sensitive, which can allow women to come in, including their programs. So it's going to be really, I must be honest, it's going to be a tough process. It's not going to be easy. And we're also going to be responsible for monitoring and evaluation of government, including the private sector, when it comes to gender issues. And I think that would also lead to maybe the issue of low targets overall in terms of the budget and what was presented today. I think we know where we come, those who are here, we know where we come from with this particular portfolio as it was. There were a lot of challenges, included in the challenges was funding. This department was never given sufficient budget to deal with its challenges. So the twos and the threes and the fours are trying to deal with what can be given or what was provided for in the past. And I think they were tabling a three-year program, but because we're going to change, it's going to come up differently. But I must also say, I believe that we're going to, including the budget chairperson, we will change because we believe that the task ahead of us is so huge if we are expected to deliver on some of the issues raised within that, including, we must also say, including our structure, including the structure of the department. We don't have capacity. We have to build capacity. We have to make sure that we get people with right skills to be met, because if we don't have people with appropriate skills, we'll come here and you'll hit us, will cover us all the time. So we are really trying to make sure that we become an effective department which can take South Africa forward. We are not going to be the department which runs programs. We might have programs there and there. That's not our responsibility. What we've got to find is in departments, what programs do they have for women? So that's where we are. That would also include the issue of the wage bill. The money is that we must withdraw it. Bring it back because there was not sufficient, unless you say I'm wrong, there was not sufficient consultation. And it's not only yourselves, it's broader. There was not sufficient consultation. So it will come back. We've got to rehash.
You know, before you... Young lady who raised that question. Times change, and we mean this. When the NCLP actually did all those things and put it back to the NA, it was because of very, very strong risks. Yes, we're in transition, as the minister has said, and we're not going to be just, you know, cushioning what we think is not relevant for the new ministry. Thank you.
Thanks, Peterson. So I thought I need to be honest to say we are going to withdraw and we are going to do consultations because we want as many groupings in South Africa to make input into this process. It might take us. In fact, we've agreed that as soon as we get proclamation and all that, we want to start opening the bill. But also want to even move much more broader in a very dynamic way, where we allow many people to air their views, so that by the time we conclude, at least there's an understanding. Because if I can say we agree, we'll never agree. We'll never. But there must be consensus and an understanding why we don't agree on certain things. So that's going to be our approach. And for me, I think that that is important for us. My colleagues. So that's where we are with the issue of wage. The issue of 50-50. How are we going to implement it? Our focus of this ministry will not be to look at numbers. Yes, they're part of the policies and all that. But we're going to look at what kind of mechanisms are there which make sure that we reach 50-50. Because the challenge we have, we put 50-50, we're unable to achieve because we don't have the tools of making sure that we achieve 50-50. So that's going to be our responsibility. In making sure that we empower women. When we say 50-50, we know that we are confident with the right women. They're not going to come in today and disappear tomorrow. So that's going to be part of our responsibility to see, really, in all sectors of our country, what mechanisms are there to empower women? Skilling, training, that's what we're going to look at as part of our monitoring and evaluation. If you have 50 women, are you having numbers or are you having quality? Because it's high time for us to deal with quality. Ensuring that we have qualitative women. And sometimes I argue, Chairperson, that you know, sometimes as women, we undermine ourselves. We want to say 50-50 against men. Sometimes we benchmark ourselves against the failures. Men who are useless, men want to benchmark ourselves against them. Which is so wrong for me. Why do you want to benchmark yourself with the worst performing people? We must create our own targets as women and our own excellences to say, what is our excellence in approaching the issue of gender empowerment? We don't need men to benchmark ourselves. And I think it's going to be our responsibility here to say, how do we make sure that we don't always look at men and then look at ourselves and think that we're better? I believe that we are the best. We don't have to benchmark ourselves against men because sometimes we benchmark ourselves against failure. And definitely the last one will be the issue of the 2%. The 2% is a government policy which was adopted by all of us. I think through monitoring and what is the department? The monitoring and evaluation, which is going to include the national planning. That's what we're going to see. Whether are all government departments complying with the issue of 2%? And where we sit, I think all of us who've been in this space, we're very far. We're very far. So I will even say maybe for us, we might want to monitor the side of women. When it comes to disability, to say in each department how many women who have disability and are employed in those departments. So that's how we look at it from our side as part of our monitoring and evaluation. So in short, Chairperson and Honourable Members, is that we are going to be a new department. We've been working very fast for us to be able to run our own. We're waiting for the proclamation. But also working on the structure of the department so that it has the right capacity but it's properly positioned to fulfill its mandate. So ours is not going to be seeing us having programs, yes, there and there, strategically or tactically. But our objective is to make sure that we monitor and evaluate more or less of an oversight role in making sure that society as a whole in South Africa position women properly. That's going to be our core mandate in making sure that happens. So the others, I think DG will respond with a technical thing.
Thanks, Minister. I think you've covered most issues except for just two where you were asked why are we doing anti-corruption. This is a requirement for all departments in government, so we all are required to have those mechanisms within our departments. And then all the targets, to say that our targets are too low, especially the one on presidential hotline,
the targets were developed in line with the SMART principle, which requires us to be also realistic. The challenge there is that you can never anticipate the kinds of things that will be reported in the hotline, and sometimes it's things that are outside the control of the department. So, however, so far we've managed to resolve all of the complaints. But because we cannot tell beforehand what kinds of complaints will be there and how long it's going to take us to resolve them, and so that it was realistic to target at least 60%. Thank you.
Maybe one point on the issue of the hotline. May I indicate that we're going to make sure that you're 100%, not 60%. The turnaround time becomes very, very critical. I think if we, in terms of our previous portfolio, the track record you can see, we don't want to keep issues raised by the public forever. We really try to make sure that we move with speed as much as we can, because we want to make sure that the community at large is satisfied. As we know, some of them will never satisfy, but we strive towards making sure that we resolve all problems.
Chairperson and the Minister, thank you. The question on the 6.8 on GPV and the donor funding, that is the mandate that the department was not funded for. So we appealed to Treasury to assist us with money. So we got funding from the RDP fund, which is the general budget support, and over the 3 years we were given 6.8 million. And then we also have partnership with the UN Stable organization, which is funding us over the 2 years on the Safer South Africa. Mainly now what has come forth is the UNICEF for the strengthening of the office of the CEO. Thank you. I hope I've covered everything.
Just on the issue of the council, as well, the issues which we are told we've got to review. So for now, we're not sure whether we're going to retain it or we should go there. Part of the challenge is that, as I say, some of the issues, you find that they are budgeted for in the social development. So ultimately, when we, and some of the laws, if you look at it, are there within the Department of Social Development. So it's going to form part of the transition. But for now, we can't say it's going to be with us on that side. But as we continue with transition, we will continue to keep the portfolio updated on our processes. Thanks.
Honourable members, I hope we're all happy people after the information that has been tabled. And we can sit back and sort of analyze each and every one. And maybe at some stage, some people might come up with some information as well. We're not a closed book. We're here to serve the most vulnerable group, and that is women. So I hope we've now actually answered all the questions that might not have been answered satisfactorily with other people, but remember we're in transition and things are about to change. And change will be for the good of the people and not for individuals. Do you want to say anything else? Committee members, are you free to say? Were you satisfied? Are there areas of concern after all the questions have been answered?
Okay, all right.
Okay, but I just wanted to say I think it's quite a refreshing new approach that the minister is bringing, and I think we need to thank her for that, because I think previously the outlook for me, where people say that we have to enforce 50% quota, for me, empowerment of women happens at grassroots level. And you know, it's not necessarily about quota enforcing it, it's about where do we start? It's about the grassroots level and building from there. And I think for the minister to come with that approach today to this committee, it's really laudable, and we thank her for it, and I think we look forward to working with her. Thank you.
True, this may be a good time then to say it on two fronts. It was very clear that people were very concerned that they hadn't had enough time to interact with the WEDI legislation, and so that is amazing that we've actually been able to listen and do something about it. And the other thing is, I know we as the ACDP have been, since from the beginning, our interaction with stakeholders around children and people with disabilities has been, why another ministry where money is siphoned off and is not going into implementation? So there was huge concern, and we brought that in a couple of debates. And so again, what I'm seeing here is somebody listen. We're actually getting a response. That's where they are. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to agree with what has been said before. I was in this portfolio at the very outset, and then I took a detour into health, and I've come back again. And I'm very pleased to see the change, and your intentions are good, and I hope that we are all going to be strong enough to be able to push you in the right direction if you should meet any obstacles. But for me too, it's the women on the ground. It's the families that matter. It's not only people in high positions. Yes, they are important, but we must never forget that our mandate comes from those that are most affected and suffer most. So we'll give all the support we can. And thank you for that.
And please, members of this committee, that includes you, Minister. If the bill is a 76, it can't be changed. And that's exactly what happened. I can see my dear young person, you shocked. I was in the NCOP that time, and we said, no can do. There wasn't enough time for communication. And if it's a 76, we need 6 weeks to deal with the relevant community people. There's no fast tracking. We must understand the difference with our bills. 76 remains 76. It can't be changed to 75. Thank you.
Minister, you should have had the words that were thrown in the
face. You remember very well.
And I said, no, wait. I said, no, wait. And you remember, you were discussing this. And when we were saying priority,
they sat on the views until the last minute. Honorable members, thank you very much for the attendance. Until the next meeting.
The young lady. Hey, what have I done?
I never pointed the finger at you. The culprit knows.
Thank you.
Thank you.